What kind of marriage do you want? What kind of partner do you want to be? Once you've determined that, now you have to say, what will it cost me? And once you've determined what it'll cost you, you have to make the commitment to pay the full price to get what you want. We don't want to do that. We shy away from that. Having a healthy marriage, building a business, changing careers, that's the easy part. Because there's methods to do that. All of that. The hard part is becoming the person that's committed to doing the work, to putting in the effort. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Fresh Perspective. Today with me is Mariki Smit. So this is an unpacking episode. Hello Mariki, welcome back to Fresh Perspective.
Thank you, Francois. I think people listening to this don't even have to hear the accent. They just hear the name and they know, oh, she's an Afrikaans, Yannick. Mariki Smit.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that. Absolutely.
So Francois, what's the question we'll try and unpack today?
So I've been thinking about it a lot lately, about how we hear and tell ourselves that some things are good and some things are bad, and some things are true and some things are false, and something is accepted in our culture and other things are not accepted. But there's a problem with that, because then situations arise, like people being married to a narcissist. And I think, yes, like I've heard that it's good to not get divorced, or it's unaccepted to get a divorce. But I really think you shouldn't be married to this person.
Yeah.
What is a better measure for us when we are in a culture where things are starting to seem like they are not serving us anymore? What's a better way to measure things?
Okay, so let me just elaborate a little bit on measuring things in terms of right or wrong, good and bad. The problem is sometimes you think something is good, and it might be very good and sound very good on paper, but the effect in terms of your way of thinking, your way of feeling, and your actions is very bad. Is very bad. So you might like the divorce example that you use. You might think it's very bad to get divorced. It's wrong. Yeah, I'm not going to get divorced. But that also allows you then to not really show up in your marriage. So I'm not going to get divorced, but I'm also not going to participate in this relationship. I'm not going to invest in it. I'm not going to try and show up as the best version of myself, but I'm not going to get divorced. Or another example around this, sometimes people will discover their partner is having an affair and they'll say, but I'm not going to get divorced. That's not an option. But then they become so nasty because they now believe, well, you did something wrong. I didn't do something wrong. And now it's justified for me to be nasty. I can now get away with everything and you just have to take it. I can be rude and nasty and cruel to you. You just have to take it because you are the person that did something wrong. So all of that is points to it being unhealthy. And that's the way I like to help people measure their behavior, measure their emotions and their whole belief system. Is this healthy or unhealthy? So you can say, well, what I'm doing is right and good. I'm not getting divorced. But the way you show up in that marriage is very unhealthy. So what determines if something is healthy or unhealthy? Also not good and bad, right or wrong. That's not the way you determine it. The way you determine if something is unhealthy is, does it allow me, help me show up the way I want to? Does it allow me to be the kind of person that I want to be, for example, in this marriage? That's the way that you determine if it's healthy or unhealthy. It allows you to show up the way you want to. That's healthy. Now, that means you have to figure out, how do I want to show up? So what kind of partner do I want to be in this relationship, in this marriage? And that's a hard question to answer. Now you have the responsibility to figure out what that is. And sometimes people will disempower themselves in a situation like that. Well, I can't help it. You know, he is the one that cheated, so I can't help it. This is now the way I feel and the way I'm going to behave. And the question becomes, is that the way you want to feel and want to behave? And that's a hard question, because that kind of asks you to take responsibility for your behavior. And we don't want to do that. We'd rather fight for our limiting beliefs, our justifying beliefs, meaning beliefs that we have that allow us to remain the same. Because if we fight for them, we can remain the same. If we fight for them, we can remain innocent. And if I'm innocent, I don't have to change. Nothing has to change here. It's all over there. But that doesn't really get you the relationship you want. So good, bad, right, wrong. Sometimes I even tell people that you can take a quote from the Bible and say, okay, this is right, this is good, this is righteous, this is holy. But if you look at the impact of it in your life, the fruit it bears in your life, you see, oh, it's actually unhealthy, because it's not helping me show up the way I want to in the world or in my life or for my partner or for my children. So that thing doesn't have to be right or wrong for it to be unhealthy. That's not what determines the impact of it. Okay, that's a long answer. Am I aiming in the right direction?
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking of an example. When I was 18 years old, I was working as an au pair in America, and I was sitting one evening with my American friends, and it was late in the evening. I mean, we were 18 years old. We could still be awake after midnight. And
after eight.
And they asked me, after eight, yes. And they asked me, so how do you say sleepy in African? Meaning Afrikaans. How do you say sleepy in African? And I said, well, it's fog. And they were like, what? Are you serious? And then they went on, you know, joking, oh, I'm so fog right now. I really want to go to bed. I'm fog. And it was really funny. But the point is, the sounds fog has no meaning. We give meaning to it. Kind of just elaborating on what you've been saying, the Bible verse in itself is not good or bad. The sounds fog in itself is not good or bad. It's when it's given meaning that it takes on a meaning of its own or a life of its own.
Yeah, that's a great example.
I want to ask you.
That's a great example, yeah. Sorry, let me just jump in quickly about that. Is you give it meaning.
Yeah.
So in itself, it might be very good and right, but it goes through so much filtering and processing internally, what you make that verse mean or that the sounds mean. And that's what has the impact. What you believe it means is really what gives it its power or impact. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I want to ask you, so I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, wow, I'm getting a fresh perspective on thinking about certain things, and I really want to change my way of thinking to make healthy choices. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking of a specific example. I really should stop drinking wine during the week or whatever. Maybe that's an oversimplistic example.
Here in Stellenbosch, that's sacrilege. You can't even say that.
I'll change it. I want to stop drinking box wine during the week. Will that be acceptable? And but now, is it a question of just waking up one morning, switching a switch and saying, I'm choosing different? How would that process look?
Oof, that's a good question. Once you understand and discover the unhealthy belief, what's the deep conviction that you have that might be good and right on paper, but if you study it, you see it's unhealthy because it's causing me to show up in the world different than I want to or need to for the people in my life. Once you discover that, The first thing you have to do is, okay, how do I feel because of this belief? How does it make me feel? So in our example earlier, it might be that you feel a sense of justice. You're justified to behave a certain way. You feel hurt, angry, mean, revengeful. Lots of different emotions come from that. And even though it makes sense that if you've been cheated on that, you'll have emotions about that and feel hurt and all of that, there's nothing wrong with that. It makes sense that you'll feel all of that. The problem is when you create a belief around it that now keeps you in that emotional space almost indefinitely. So as long as you hold on to the unhealthy belief, it'll keep you in that emotional space, meaning you'll keep on showing up in a way that you really don't want to in your relationship. You'll be the kind of person you don't really want to be. And people will say this, and maybe I felt that, maybe you felt this as well, is that's not me. You're going to feel like the way I behave there when we had the argument, that's not me. That's not the kind of person I am. That's what I mean. That indicates to you, well, wait a minute. That means I believe something that's unhealthy. And maybe you discover, oh, the thing I believe is good on paper. It's right. But it's unhealthy because this is what it causes in my life. Right. So that's the first thing. Discover and understand what the root of this is, where it comes from. What do I actually believe and what does it cause in my relationship or in my life? Then you have to say, okay, if nothing changes, right? So I can't change the past. My partner still cheated on me. That still happened. I can't time travel and change that. How do I want to feel in this relationship? Which is hard to figure out. Because of our beliefs, we might say, well, I can't feel any other way. I can only feel a certain way if my partner changes or the following things happen. And usually that list is things you have no control over or even influence. I can only feel different when that happens. So that's disempowering. And that's also a belief. So we have to say, how do you want to feel even if nothing changes over there? Nothing changes. How do you want to feel? And once you determine that, you can start building the belief system that's healthy. So if you say, for example, I want to feel inspired, I want to feel loved and important, and immediately the old belief system will jump in saying, how can I feel loved and important if my partner cheated on me? Well, that's outsourcing, right? You're saying, well, I can only feel that way if my partner does X, Y, and Z. No. You can feel that way because of a belief system that you built. Because sometimes people feel loved even though they are not loved. Sometimes people are loved and they don't feel loved. Why? Because of beliefs. Maybe in a grand scheme, if I talk about feeling loved, I'm sidetracking a little bit here, but I think this is an important point. You can think that you are loved and not be loved, feel loved and not be loved. You can actually be loved and not feel loved. So for many Christians, I can use this example. If they don't feel loved, it's like, well, do you believe that God loves you? Yes. Okay. So why don't you feel loved if that is what you believe? That means you don't really believe it. And that's a very confronting thought to have, which means, well, they discover other things. Well, yes. And they discover things like, well, God loves me if I am a good person, if I do good things. But when I'm not doing good things, he doesn't love me that much. They discover those beliefs and say, oh, this is what I actually believe. I confess one thing, but based on my behavior, my emotions, my thoughts, I actually believe something else. So that's a little side note on feeling loved. So if you decide this is how I want to feel, those now become your emotional goals And the old emotions that you had, those become the clues. So whenever you feel the old emotions, you know, oh, I feel this way because of certain beliefs I have. This is why I feel this way. Not because of what my partner did. That triggered it. And maybe that planted some new unhealthy beliefs. But now if I want to move forward, if I want to heal from this, my emotional goals are the following. I want to feel loved, important, empowered, for example. Then you ask the question, okay, what do I have to believe to feel like this in these circumstances? What meaning do I give to certain behavior, circumstances, because I have the power? What do I believe them to mean? And people that are kind of in that place where they have to decide, will I get a divorce or not because my partner is, you know, having one affair after another or whatever that might be. The person that stays within this old unhealthy space, they don't make that decision. They wait. They remain a victim. They remain disempowered. But the person that says, this is how I want to feel, that person can make a choice either to show up differently in the relationship and change the whole dynamic and disrupt the old pattern, or say, I'm out of here. I'm moving on. But the person in the old space can't really do that. Another long answer, Mariki. Does that make sense to you? Are you tracking all of those thoughts?
Absolutely. I'm vigorously taking notes. I was thinking now of a quote that I'm probably going to butcher, but we don't see things as they are. We see things as we perceive them to be, or something in that line. Yeah. My next as question, though, is as we are. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Why would somebody willingly stay in a space where they continuously choose what is unhealthy for them?
Why would someone stay in a space knowingly, even though they know it's unhealthy for them? It's safe and comfortable. It's safe and comfortable. Now, people might say,
it's perceived to be safe and comfortable.
Very, very. But they experience it that way. Why? What's safe and comfortable about that? Is you know exactly how to be that person. All those feelings are familiar. So if you are used to being a victim and being treated a certain way, that's safe and comfortable. So we'd rather remain there where it's safe and comfortable than the risk of showing up differently, doing different things. And especially if you don't understand that the beliefs create thoughts and the thoughts create emotions, you remain stuck there. You're like, this is how I feel because of what happened, because of what someone did. That's why I feel this way. No. You believe certain things because of a person or what happened. That's why. All right. So am I answering the question yet? Feels like I've drifted off.
Yes. So there's something, some people, the price of growth, the price of giving up what is unhealthy seems too big. It seems too painful. The growing pain seem yeah. overwhelming, and therefore they may choose to stay where they feel safe and comfortable, even though it's no longer healthy, or it maybe never was healthy.
It's very scary. Yeah, it's scary. So moving towards the other side means I have to take responsibility. It's on me now. I can no longer blame my bad behavior, my emotions on the person or the circumstances. It's up to me to make a change. That responsibility is scary. That's why most people remain stuck. That's why most people fight for their limiting beliefs. Like I said, I'd rather remain innocent and have no responsibility, it's not my fault, than take responsibility and now I have to do something about this. It's hard. But once you've been through this process of discovering this is what I believe that's unhealthy, and you've written down. So if you want to see what you think, I think where you can see, meaning write it down so you can see it. Once you've done that, it's really just a process of getting into that habit of moving. When you feel the old emotions, moving from that towards the new beliefs, moving from, and you know, I say, even if you have to do it 10 times in 1 minute, that's okay, because you're training yourself to move to that space. Wait a minute, I'm feeling this frustration and anger and meanness, and you know, I want justice and all of that. That's not how I want to feel. I want to feel empowered and loved and all of these things. What do I have to believe that helped me? I'm responsible for my emotions. I'm responsible for my choices. I can figure this out. I can move forward. It might even be things like, I can start again. Sometimes people stay stuck because they feel, well the embarrassment, again, I'm talking about maybe getting divorced. The embarrassment or the financial pressure of, I can look after myself. All of those beliefs that you create will help you feel differently, will help you take action. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but often once you've created those beliefs, it's surprisingly easy because you now feel different based on the beliefs. That's what's so empowering about it.
So in a sense, we are circus monkeys. We can train ourselves yes. to think differently.
yes. Yes. Yeah.
And initially we might struggle, like you said, you will have to remind yourself 120 times in 1 minute
yeah.
to redirect your attention to what you want to feel and think and to your new belief system. But looking back, it's going to become second nature.
Yes. And it's going to be worth it. But that opens up a whole new topic, Mariki. So it's also deciding what you want. What you want from your marriage. What kind of marriage do you want? Thinking about that, writing that down. The people will often like go small on that. I just don't want to fight. I just don't, very small. No, what do you want? What kind of partner do you want to be? What kind of partner do you want? And once you've determined that, now you have to say, okay, what will it cost me, right? That's the responsibility part. What do I need to believe? And once you've determined what it'll cost you, you have to make the commitment to pay the full price to get what you want. We don't want to do that. We shy away from that. So having a healthy marriage, building a business, changing careers, all of those things are that's the easy part. Very easy, because there's methods to do that, all of that. The hard part is becoming the person that's committed to doing the work, to putting in the effort. That's the hard part, creating that circus monkey that's willing to do the work, that knows how to do the work and can stay focused on that track.
Francois, if somebody's listening, tell us a bit about the Clarity Quest and how what you do in the Clarity Quest helps people go through this process.
Sure, thank you. So if you're listening and you feel a bit stuck and you feel like, well, I constantly feel the way I don't want to feel, and you want a community and a process that will help you guide you out of that, you can join the Clarity Quest. You can just go to getclarity.co.za to find more information on the Clarity Quest. A lovely community that inspires me as well to see people take massive leaps. And also that gives me the confidence to know and talk about these things, because I see people applying it. It's not just me. There's other people applying it and making progress and going through massive growth, including you, Mariki. It's great to have these conversations with you as well. Thank you.
I can honestly, I think I speak on behalf of people in the Clarity Quest, but it's an amazing process with an amazing mentor to take you through it. So I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you don't check it out. So if you are in front of your computer watching this or on your cell phone, getclarity.co.za. Easy as that.
Yeah, go there. There's some resources as well that you can check out first to see if the program is actually a good fit for you. It's free. There's a lot of free stuff that you can access and learn from. Yeah. But thank you. Thank you for joining us on another episode of A Fresh Perspective Unpacking. And also, thank you for enjoying our accents. See you next time.
Marieke Smit out.
Francois out. Bye.